Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner with PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Major General James Jackson, Commanding General, U.S. Army Military District of Washington. And joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, Brian Dickinson.
General Jackson, can you talk to us a little bit about what you were doing on the morning of September 11th and how your day progressed in the immediate aftermath of the tragedy of that day?
Sure. Actually, we were in a staff meeting, so I was sitting at the head of the table with my entire staff, and my aide brought in a note to me and indicated that an airplane had run into one of the Twin Towers in New York City, to which I read and discounted it as some wayward pilot who couldn't fly very well. So we continued with the meeting, and then shortly after, he came in again and said there's been a second plane, to which we indicated, or it was quickly obvious to us, that coincidence didn't happen this way. So we canceled the meeting and went and started watching the TV to see what had happened. Shortly thereafter, someone came in the office and indicated there was a rather large smoke plume coming up from across the river, which is where the Pentagon is. So we walked outside the building and took a look, and sure enough recognized that this was something bad had just happened over there. We went back inside, talked about it a little bit, and then decided that we would change clothes, get into our go-to-business suits, the BDUs, battle dress uniform, fatigues, and take a ride over to the Pentagon. And that pretty much started the day, and we stayed at the Pentagon probably until about 10, 11 o'clock that night. Went back to the office, got some sleep real quick, home, got cleaned up, and went back to work at about 3 in the morning.
Can you describe the scene that you found upon arrival at the Pentagon?
Sure. Well, obviously, we got there, and it was somewhat chaotic. And there was a lot of people moving about. There were some people who were trying to apply some coherency to the situation, and they were pretty much gathering up a bunch of volunteers to assist and handle any casualties if they found them. As we assessed the situation and linked up with the fire chief, who we were told was going to be the incident commander, I asked him what he needed and what we could do to help, and his first response was, "I need some manpower." Well, as it so happens, that's one of the things we can provide, and so we made some phone calls, and within an hour, we brought some troops down. The initial operations on the site was to apply some degree of coherency to what's going on, and the troops came in to backfill the volunteers because the volunteers weren't dressed properly, and their organization was rather loose, as you might imagine. Bring in soldiers as part of organizations, I can line them up very quickly. I've got a chain of command I can deal with, and I can control them better. And it allowed us to allow the volunteers to go home, see family members, call family members, and then to basically get back to work doing the things that they are required to do. An interesting note is none of the military functions that go on in the Pentagon stopped. And so we freed those people up to go back to doing what they're supposed to do and allowed us to do the work we were supposed to do, and basically which was providing support to the fire chief, who was the incident commander at the site.
Does your organization, are you still involved in recovery efforts at this point?
No, not as such. The recovery operations have stopped. As you know, the building's being repaired and fixed, and I'm being told they're ahead of schedule. The only thing we're still doing is we've collected some personal effects, both from the building itself as we cleared it, and also stuff that has been identified as personal effects from the individual remains that were retrieved from the site. And our job, or an organization that works for me, is to identify those, catalog them, and then make them available to family members in the event they wish to identify them and claim them. And that process is still going on just because it's a very painstaking and detailed process. And we expect it to conclude somewhere this summer.
In the aftermath of September 11th, how have you adjusted your priorities and your organization to meet the new challenges that the country faces?
Well, the most significant that we're dealing with right now is the added security that we've established on all our installations. In fact, we started drifting towards that back in August with the attempt to get back to controlling access to our installations, because they do house a lot of people and some sensitive assets that need to be protected. So we were well on our way, and so since September 11th, we've just continued on that and remained at the high level of alert that we're at. The other thing that I would offer is more of a broad brush approach, and that is to deal with change in itself. Obviously, since 9/11, lots of things have changed. And so as those things change, they cause other changes, and we have to deal with those on a day-to-day basis. And those kinds of things are happening, not just the security on bases, but other things that we've become more attuned to, cybersecurity. We're talking about reviewing all our contingency plans, taking a look at them, seeing if we can improve some of our communications capabilities, and the other things that we might be able to do to make our response to something like this or something similar to this in the future go better. And so that eats up a lot of our time.
What type of planning or preparation pre-September 11th had you done for events like that?
Well, obviously, we've got some plans. I mean, we go out and write some, and we prepare them. But we can't write a plan for every eventuality. As a matter of fact, someone asked me after this if we had a plan. I said, yeah, we had a plan. But we didn't have a plan that talked about what we did if a plane flew into the Pentagon. The interesting thing is we didn't need a plan for that. We took the plan we had, we modified it, and that's what senior people get paid to do, is to deal with those kinds of changes, and we executed the modified plan, and it worked exceptionally well.
Let me follow that up with another question about working together. You talked about working with the Arlington Fire Department. I know that the FBI and FEMA were involved. I wonder, you know, what the lessons are working across organizations like that.
We had a great relationship with all the people and all the organizations that came in and worked at the Pentagon. I think the biggest lesson was that the system that's in place across the country, the incident command system that they have, the federal response plan that is in place, is a good one. In this case, inside the United States, the military does not take the lead. Even though that was military land in the Pentagon, the guy in charge of the operation was, in fact, the fire chief out of Arlington. And that's where I reported, and I worked for him, basically. Asked him what he wanted me to do. If he asked, and if it was something I could do for him, we provided it. It was a very collegial, cooperative kind of environment, and it works great. As the fire chief slid out of that command role because the fire was out and the structural damage to the building had been taken care of, the crime scene part came up, and then the FBI took over. No problem. I then start working for the FBI, doing the things they want me to do. Once the FBI was done with the building, they turned it back over to us, and then we continued to do the things we had to do until we were complete, and we gave it back to the Pentagon folks. The value of the working across the interdepartmental and interagency work that we did was manifested by our relationship that we have established over time, because we live in the city, we work in the city, we know these people, we talk to them, we review our plans together, and we have a relationship. That relationship is built on trust and on capability. We understand what each of us bring to the fray and what things we should be able to do. And we don't look at doing someone else's job, we do what we can do best. And in this case, it worked out exceptionally well. The people that we worked with on 9/11 were just wonderful folks and great leaders and great people in their communities. The interesting thing is the relationships that we built have just increased in significance, in that we still talk to each other, go see each other, and spend time together. And that's what makes things work, is that interrelationships that we build.
You've talked about the value of relationships. You obviously didn't begin building those relationships on the morning of 9/11. What were you doing before to build relationships with those groups?
Well, interestingly, the inaugural that we had for President Bush brought us all together because of the significant event in Washington, D.C., and the kinds of stuff that happens there, the security aspects, the volume of people that come in, and the military participation, and the fact that we help prepare the whole and planned the inaugural, at least the parade portion and the rest of the, some of the rest of the stuff that is done, we have to sit down and talk. And you go through a lengthy process of building a plan, executing it on a tabletop or on a floor, and then rehearsing it. And so throughout that event, over a period of several weeks, we become very close and we get to understand. So I know pretty much or have met every police senior member throughout the district and certainly in the surrounding counties. Some fire chiefs I've known. We train periodically with their own search and rescue people because I have a search and rescue element, and they train together. And so that's where we build those relationships.
That's a good stopping point. Stick with us as we continue our discussion about management with General Jackson of the Military District of Washington. When we come back, we'll ask him about the challenges managing Arlington Cemetery. This is the Business of Government Hour.